Did you get injured?
The first time I got blown up was in 2008.
Blown up as in blown up?
Yes, as in explosives. The enemy likes to use things called IEDs, which is improvised explosive devices. When you see it on TV, it's a lot different than when it's actually happening to you in real life.
While that very chilling and eye-opening description may sound familiar to you if you're a veteran, and today here on this Veterans Day edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk, we're going to meet an infantryman who now has a ministry called the Warfighters Mission, designed to help veterans and their families heal up from the spiritual, physical, and emotional wounds of war. I'm Roger Marsh. Welcome to Family Talk, the broadcast division of the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute. Today, of course, is Veterans Day, and this is a day when we honor the brave men and women who have served in our armed forces bravely, faithfully, and valiantly. Whether retired or still serving in active duty, these servicemen and women deserve our utmost admiration and respect, and if you fall into that category, we thank you for your service. Now, on today's edition of the program, we're going to meet a new member of the JDFI staff here, a guy who works behind the scenes, but knows what it means to be an infantryman, a fighter, and also one who has recovered from the physical, emotional, and spiritual wounds of war. Let's get to meet this special warfighter right now on this special edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Well, hello, everybody. My name is James Dobson, and you're going to hear an interview with a man that I have known only several months, and I already admire him greatly. He's the father of seven girls, count them, seven girls, and they're all here today at Family Talk. And we're going to talk about their lives and about this man and especially his faith and a lot of other things. So you're going to enjoy what we're going to talk about today. His name is Brandon Cabalar, a wonderful father and husband, and he has been in the military for a long time, and we're going to talk about that. Brandon, let's go back to your childhood, your teen years. 9/11 attack occurred and completely destroyed the World Trade Center. You remember that?
Yes, sir. Actually, I was 15 in 2001 when 9/11 was happening and the attack on the two towers. I remember specifically, you know, I was heading to our homeroom class and the TV was
never on. So you were in high school?
I was still in high school, yes. And the TV was never on. And for some reason today, during 9/11, our teacher had it on to show us what was going on. And we all thought it was just a movie, didn't know what was going on. You know, I had dreams of going to USC, which is funny.
University of Southern California.
Yes, sir.
Which is where I went. And why would you ever go anybody else?
Well, you know, doctor, I was trying. You know, I was wrestling. I was playing sports. I was doing marching band. You name it. And I was trying to get my way to USC as fast as possible.
You want to play football?
I did.
I kind of thought it.
But, you know... God definitely had a plan, and I didn't know back then that he had this plan for me, but as soon as that happened, I was ready to go. I actually wanted to contact a Marine Corps recruiter and go in there first.
In fact, it was the Marines you were after, wasn't it?
Yes, sir,
it was. Why did you want to go to the Marines?
I wanted combat. As crazy it sounds, as I wanted combat. I saw what was happening to our country. My stepdad and my real dad were both in the Navy, and I didn't want to do that because I thought that, you know, Navy was going to be boring. But I had to wait, and so when I graduated in 2003, I actually called a Marine Corps
recruiter
to come to the house, and he came, and my mom was not happy about that.
Well, why would she be? You were 15?
I was so.
In by two, then you were 17.
By then I was 17, yes, correct.
Right.
And
mama said no.
No, he came and he was talking to me about, you know, I can go into the infantry or I can be a pilot or whatever it was. And I looked at my mom. We were sitting out on the front porch in the Navy housing, and I looked at my mom and she said, no, it's you can go somewhere else. And so she—
Do you understand that now, why a mother wouldn't want her 17-year-old son going into combat?
Yes, I do. I see it now, and I look at my kids, and even if they ever had the aspiration to go to the military, I don't think I could heart it. I don't think I could take them going into the military. I mean, after everything that I've seen and I've done, I just wouldn't want that on any.
So did you look for an alternative? Didn't you decide maybe the Air Force would be a place where you could go?
Well, actually, as soon as she said no, I tried calling a Army recruiter, and she said no. And then she said, the ultimatum is Navy or the Air Force. And I said, well, Navy's pretty cool, I guess. I can be a Navy SEAL. And she said, all right, Air Force it is. And so she had my uncle take me down to an Air Force recruiter because my uncle, who actually lives out here in Peyton, took me to the Air Force recruiter that day and took me in. And
you signed up.
I signed up right away. They asked me what I wanted to do, and I said, well, I don't know, whatever's combat organized. And it was a cop, basically a military police. And shipped off a few months later.
Were you nervous?
Not really. I was excited more than anything because I wanted to do something for my country.
Now, Brandon, that really was your motive. Above all else, you wanted to do something for America.
I did. You know, I've told this during our morning devotionals. I actually had the privilege here to do a devotional on 9/11, and I spoke about my story, about what happened. And I kept telling everybody, you know, I miss 9/12 because that's when the whole country came together in the biggest way possible. And we were united for once in our whole entire, you know, history of America. We were united as a country.
How soon did you ship out?
It was about, I want to say, 3 months.
So you went to basic training?
Basic training at Lackland Air Force Base, San Antonio, Texas.
And what is your memory of that?
It was horrible. Not going to lie.
I've been there. I've done that. So I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I enjoyed it so much. I did it twice. But no, it's the Air Force was, it was a lot of knowledge-based stuff. So we had to learn a lot. I made it through basic just fine. But it was when I went to, they call it an A school, which is your specialty. So the MP's specialty course. When I got there, I don't know, it's just maybe I wasn't ready or, you know, I know now it was actually God stopping me from doing this. And so, you know, about 4 months later, they discharged me because I just couldn't get through the classes. So they discharged me and I shipped back all the way to Hawaii. And then,
did that break your heart or did you want to get released?
I kind of wanted to get released at that point because I said the Air Force wasn't, I wasn't cut out for the Air Force. I keep telling everybody I wasn't smart enough for the Air Force, and that was the truth. And so I shipped back home to Hawaii, waited 6 months, and then I found an Army recruiter and asked him
to— Did you go home and talk to Mama about that one?
No, I was 18 at that point.
You could make up your own mind.
I could make up my own mind, and I'm glad I did because—
What'd she say when you came home and said, guess what, Mom? I'm in the Army now.
Yeah, she was not thrilled about that, but she understood that was my goal, and that's what I wanted.
So she didn't fight you this time?
No, she didn't, because I was 18. I was technically an adult, even though I don't think I look back at it, and I'm like, I don't think I was a responsible adult at that point.
And what specialty did you have?
Was it? I was in infantry.
You were really after
a grunt.
It,
yep, I was
looking
a grunt.
Looking back on it, what are your thoughts? Did you do the right thing?
You know, Doctor, I've been asked that more than once, and I think I did the right thing. You know, God had a plan. I didn't know it at the time, but God had this plan. And if I would have done this all over again, you know, if God said, here's a chance for you to do it all over again, go make different decisions or make it the way you have it, I would have chosen the same
Brandon,
way.
We can certainly admire your desire to serve your country. There's nothing wrong with that. And that really was why you wanted to get into a combat situation.
Yes, it was.
Do you know you could lose your life?
Every day.
And did they deploy you soon? What'd they do with you?
In 2007 was my first deployment. So I went to Army basic training in 2005, got to my first unit 2006, and deployed in 2007.
To where?
Iraq, Baghdad. And that one was supposed to be a 12-month deployment. And they came back and said it was a 15-month deployment. And then they said, all right, we're sticking here for a couple more months. So it turned out to be an 18-month deployment.
Were you having any second thoughts at that time?
Partially, because I left shortly after our oldest daughter was born. She was born in September, and we shipped out in December.
Now, wait a minute. We haven't talked about a marriage in there. There's something missing here.
There is. So Tanya and I actually got together between my transition of Air Force and Army. I found all my best friends again, and we were hanging out, and my best friend was dating his girlfriend at the time, and he said, my girlfriend has a friend that she'd really love to meet you, and I said, okay. And so we pulled up to Tanya's house, and as soon as I saw her, because she was standing outside the gate waiting, and as soon as I saw her, I locked the door, and I said, nope, I ain't doing this. And it wasn't because it was her. It was just because I was so nervous. I don't think I've ever been so nervous in my entire life to talk to somebody, because she was just so gorgeous, doctor. You have no idea. To me, she was like, wow.
I've felt those feelings.
Yeah, it was wild. And then after we got together, this was in April, our first date was actually at a Starbucks. I don't know. I just couldn't talk to her as much. I tried. Every single time I would try to say something, I would turn to my friend and be like, oh, so you catch this or you seen this? And I don't know. She must have liked it, because we ended up talking a little bit to the point where, you know, the night was over. I didn't want the night to be over, but we got back to her house and dropped her off. And I got out of the car trying to be a gentleman and walked over. And I said, you know, I really enjoyed this time. And in my head, what I was thinking is, hey, would you like to go out one more time? And the words that came out of my mouth were, do you want to give me a try? So obviously she loved me so much that she'd stuck with me.
Were you in the Army by then?
No, I wasn't. But I was getting ready to go. We ended up getting married. So this was 2005. We got married in 2006. Shortly after that, I shipped out.
Brandon, did you know the Lord at that time?
So Tanya and I both grew up Catholic. And so, like I tell everybody else, I knew of the Lord, but I didn't know
about it.
No. And, you know, when I was 17, I actually branched off and tried, this was when I was still living with my parents. I tried going to different churches, I guess it's like window shopping for churches, yeah, as some people say. And I wanted to just try something else out and see where I fit in, because there were things that I didn't really agree with in the Catholic Church that I, at the time, I didn't know who to turn to. And so I would go to a Baptist church. I would go to a non-denominational Christian churches. Stuck with the Catholic background for a while, but it wasn't until about 2 years ago when we left the Catholic Church and became born again, as everybody says.
I'm told, I think in reading about your story, is that you were influenced by some neighbors.
Yes, sir. That is
correct.
That
knew a different God than you had been acquainted with.
Yes, and that is the truth. My neighbor, Brad French, is the one that actually really brought the Lord to us. It was funny, because the whole time throughout my military career and throughout my whole life, I look back at it and I see myself as that lost sheep that Luke talks about in Luke 15, verse 4 through 7. The Lord was just constantly trying to find me and trying to grab a hold of me.
And you were looking for him and you hadn't found him.
I haven't found him.
But he knew you.
Exactly. And, you know, he would put people in our lives that at the time didn't make sense to us. But like when we were in Washington, he put a pastor right next door. And, you know, the pastor would always come and be like, hey, do you guys need any help with anything? And we'd be like, stop, we're Catholic. You know, we don't need you. But he would always do that kind of stuff. And it wasn't until about 2020 when he put somebody in our lives that changed the course.
All right, now let's see. You have now joined the Army, and it was certain that you were going to be deployed. Did you think about the implications of that? Well, what with a wife and now a child?
Well, you know, we were planning on trying to be independent, growing with our family. I wasn't really thinking about anything else other than I wanted to serve my country and I loved my family. I think at times, and Tanya can attest for this, I loved my country a lot more than I loved my family at points.
Mm.
And I look back at that and that hurts because I did. I see it and I've seen how much I loved the Army more than I loved them. I loved my brothers and sisters in arms more than I did at times with them.
Did you get injured?
I did. In the first time I got blown up was in 2008.
Blown up as in blown up?
Yes, as in explosives. The enemy likes to use things called IEDs, which is improvised explosive devices. You know, when you see it on TV, when you hear about firefights or getting blown up and you see it on movies, it's a lot different than when it's actually happening to you in real life.
Were you hospitalized?
No, not for that. That was just our vehicle got hit and it wasn't a big one. Before that, one of our friends actually did get hit and he lost his leg from the shin. He basically lost his whole foot from the shin down, was gone.
At that point, were you beginning to think I may have made a mistake?
Yeah, every day. At that point, I realized that combat was a real thing. People die. People get hurt. I was still at that point where I enjoyed it a little too much, to the point where I was looking forward to going out. It wasn't until we lost a lot more that I realized that life is short.
And you can die that way.
Yep.
Now, where's the Lord in all this?
He was everywhere. I just didn't know it at that point. You know, we were at that point praying to whoever we could to protect us. Part of it was an addiction to fighting the combat. Part of it was because we didn't know any better. Another part was because we were trained to do this, and so it was a routine for us. We knew what to do. But when things happen, especially to your friends that you know, just talk to, it does change quite a bit. And I'll tell you, the first time that I, you know, shed a tear for anybody, even when my grandfather passed away, I didn't shed a tear. It wasn't a sad day for me. But when I lost one of my best friends, that was the hardest part. We had to go to his memorial while we were still in Iraq. They did a memorial for him for the four guys that were killed in this. It was hard. Because
it's still hard today, isn't it?
It is, because I can hear it. You know, when the first sergeant calls roll call for everybody and everybody's standing up and saying, present, present. And then when he calls your friend's name and he doesn't say anything because he's gone, that is the hardest thing. And I had to struggle with that for quite some time after hearing it constantly from different deployments of, you know, people, oh, we lost more, we lost more. That is the hardest thing that I had to go through at that time. And, you know, the chaplain would come up and he would say words, and he's a chaplain, so you would think that he, you know, he knows God. And there came a point where all this was happening and I decided I needed to go to Bible study. I just needed to try it. And things were good for a while. And then I said, well, I think I got this again. And, you know, you can take a step back, God, whoever you are. I'm going to continue doing my job.
What role is your wife playing at this time?
She's taking care of the kids. She's taking care of the home, the house, everything by herself.
Were you lonely?
That's a hard question, because, yeah, I was lonely in a sense that I missed my wife and my family, but I wasn't lonely because I had my brothers and my sisters on my left and my right. They were there to take care of me. I was there to take care of them, my soldiers, my friends. I mean, we lived in tight tents, you know, and so it was just like anytime we needed to talk to anybody, we had
talk
each other.
Talk to each other.
And I mean, I was able to talk to her almost on a daily basis. Other than when somebody was injured or killed, they would shut down the internet and the phones for a few days because they needed to notify their families of the lost. So they would shut that down. And so she knew if I didn't call for a couple days, something happened. And
So people were dying all around you.
They did.
And somehow you could cope with that.
We knew it was our job. What scares me the most, Doctor, was I got used to it.
To killing people.
Killing, I got used to the fact that I could die at any moment. And I was ready to accept it. And I was waiting for death.
Tell me more.
I just got used to, I don't want to say used to, but I want to say numb. You know, things were happening all around us. We would get mortared. The enemy would try to hit us while we're sleeping. And so you get used to the sound of explosions. You get used to the sound of gunfire. And you get used to the sound of people that you knew.
You do that. I don't think I could.
I did, yes. But when you're in the Army, especially in my career field, that's what you get used to. Because that's our job. That's what we know. That's what we're trained for.
How long were you there on the first deployment?
18 months.
Before you got a chance to see your family.
I came home at about a year for leave for 2 weeks. You know, I was there for a year. They sent me home for 2 weeks just so I could decompress. And then I was right back in the fight.
When you had to go back, were you ready to do so?
I was looking forward to it.
You're the kind of guy the Army's looking for.
I was. I just didn't know it at the time. And, you know, Doctor, this is why I do what I do now with our ministry, with the Warfighters Mission. It's because of my family. I look back at everything that I did, and I see that my family was there the whole time. My family was the one that was suffering. My wife had to pick up everything and do everything on her own. Yeah, she had her parents, but she had to play the role of me and her at the same time. That's why I keep telling you, she's the strongest woman I've ever met. And I'm so glad, you know, and happy that God chose her for me.
It's obvious that he did.
I don't think anybody else could have stood by my side and do the same thing.
Well, Tanya certainly is a very, very special woman, not only in Brandon's life, but for the ministry. And today here on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk, we've just concluded part one of what will be a three-part conversation with Brandon Cabalar, who's a member of our JDFI team behind the scenes, but he's also the founder of a brand new ministry called the Warfighters Mission. This is a ministry that is dedicated to helping veterans and their families with a more holistic approach to healing after war wounds. And we encourage you to go to thewarfightersmission.com. The new mission, of course, that warfighters have once they come out of the theater of war is dealing with the war within. And of course, the high incidence of veteran suicide, the physical and emotional and spiritual challenges that veterans and their families face. The Warfighters Mission is an outstanding ministry to provide resources, online counseling, and more for you and your family if this is your story, or perhaps if you know somebody who is a veteran and is wrestling with these issues right now. We've got a link up at drjamesdobson.org/family talk for the new ministry, thewarfightersmission.com, and we encourage you to check it out. Also, as we talk about Brandon Cabalar and his wife Tanya and the fact that they are raising not one, not two, not three, four, five, or six, but seven daughters, you know how challenging it can be in the modern culture to bring up girls. Dr. Dobson wrote a classic book on this subject a few decades ago, and now Dr. Owen Strand has teamed up with Dr. Dobson to combine on a brand new 10-day email series on bringing up girls. Each of these email entries comes your way absolutely free. And to sign up to start receiving yours today, go to drjamesdobson.org and click on the link for Bringing Up Girls. It's a 10-day email series that features a word of encouragement from God's Word, some classic, timeless truths from Dr. Dobson's landmark book, and more. And by the way, if you'd like information on how to receive a copy of that book, Bringing Up Girls, you can ask for that as well when you go to drjamesdobson.org/family talk. Also, call our Resource Center toll-free at 877-732-6825. Well, I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks for joining us today for Family Talk, and be sure to join us again tomorrow when Dr. James Dobson continues his conversation with Brandon Cabalar of the WarfightersMission.com. That's coming your way next time, right here on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
This has been a presentation of the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute.